Good morning. We are blessed with an opportunity to come together this morning to worship God, and we appreciate the presence of everyone, and this has already been mentioned, we appreciate those who are visiting with us, and we're thankful for your presence. We are going to look this morning at that place that Jesus said that he would go to prepare, and that is that great place of heaven. And I want us to talk a little bit this morning, if you'll turn in your Bibles to Revelation chapter 21. We're going to be looking at some scriptures there in that chapter, in the final chapter of God's Word, concerning five things missing in heaven. Have you ever thought about the idea of when you go home from work, for example, after a hard day's work, why do you want to go home? Why do you want to go home? You want to go home because of what's not there. The boss is not there. The responsibilities are not there. The stresses of the job are not there. Have you ever thought about that you want to go to a place because of what is not there? We want to go to heaven because of what's missing, what's not there. And so when we go home at the end of the day, we've worked hard. We can leave that work behind. And we all experience that kind of thing. Why do we look forward to maybe going on a vacation or going on a date? Because of what's not there. The work's not there. The boss is not there. School's not there. Home responsibilities are not there. And maybe as a married couple, we might want to go out sometime because the children aren't there. You know, we get a break from that, those responsibilities. And we want to go somewhere because of what's missing, those things in life that are often challenging to us or that are pressing on us every day. We want a break from that. We want a mental and physical break. And so we'll plan a vacation. Because we can leave that behind, you see, that which is a stress and a strain to us. I want us to think this morning about the importance of living faithfully and going to heaven because of what is not in heaven. What is not there? And it's the same thing that we've been talking about. We want to go there because we will be able to leave behind those things of a stress and of a strain. When we look at Revelation chapter 21 and chapter 22, we read of a beautiful place called heaven. But have you ever noticed in reading this passage of Scripture that there are statements that are made, and we're going to look at five of them this morning, where John says that this is not there, and that is not there. There's none of this, and there's none of that. Have you ever noticed that in reading Revelation 21 and 22? What John is saying is that these things are missing in heaven and on purpose. God doesn't want them there. Because heaven is a reward. Heaven is a beautiful place. And these things don't belong there, you see. And so it's this idea of there are going to be some things missing in heaven. By God's design. And let us live faithfully and focus our lives and serve God and make the necessary changes so that we can go and be there and we won't have to worry about these things being present. Read with me in Revelation chapter 21. I want to read the first three verses with you this morning, and let's look at the first thing that is missing in heaven. I want you to key in on the word no. John says, no, this won't be there, and no, that won't be there. These are the things that we want to look at this morning. The first one is Revelation 21, verse 1, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth are passed away, and the sea is no more. No sea in heaven. Now don't be thinking about going out on a boat on some water, because we're going to talk about what this sea is in just a moment. But there is no sea anymore. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, made ready as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of the throne saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he shall dwell with them, and they shall be his peoples, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. In verse 1, we have this statement, the first heaven and the first earth are passed away, and the sea is no more. In the book of Revelation, this phrase, the first heaven and the first earth, is a reference to the current order of things that we're experiencing right now. Our lives, our jobs, our weather, our homes, what we go home to, driving in traffic, just the current order of things, everything in the earth now that we experience, all of this will be gone. In the book of Revelation, the phrase "the sea" means the current order and the current life that we are experiencing. For example, look at chapter 20 and verse 13. We find there, "the sea gave up the dead that were in it." Just the current order of things. All that die in this life will be given up. And we won't have to experience that kind of thing anymore. Turn back to chapter 13 and verse 1. Chapter 13 and verse 1, we read about the beast coming up out of the sea. Well, this is a reference in chapter 13 to the Roman government and the peoples of Rome. And we're talking about the beast comes up out of the sea. Humanity, the current order of things at the end of the first century. And so this idea of the sea is no more in the book of Revelation is the current order and the current life that we experience today just won't be there. Now stop and think about that. Why is that something that is important that's not in heaven? The current order of life that we experience now, why is that something that God does not want to be in heaven? Well, stop and think about the current order of things that you have to go through, and often the stresses and strains that go along with that. That will not be what heaven is about. No more jobs, no more home responsibilities, no politics, no voting, no going to work. No physical bodies and all of the things that are dealt with in the physical bodies, the eating and the sleeping, and you've got to go to the doctor. All the things that go along with that. Paul says flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of heaven. No physical body like we know it now. Jesus said on one occasion they're not married or given in marriage in heaven. These current order of things that we experience just simply won't be there in heaven. And often these things are stresses and strains to us. And so the current order of life just simply will not be in heaven. That's not what God wants for us there. What God wants is that we spend our time in a beautiful place serving Him. All these other things, that the time for them will have been gone, and our time will be spent serving God. It'll be a place of rest in Revelation chapter 14 and verse 13. Turn with me there. "Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord, for they will rest from their labors." Turn back with me to Revelation chapter 3 when John is writing to the seven churches of Asia, and each letter ends with a reward statement. In chapter 3 and verse 12, "He that overcometh," that is, we live a faithful life here and now, "I will make him to be a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go out from there no more. And I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the new Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God in my own new name." So we're going to be spending time there in God's temple serving him. If you read Revelation chapter 21, we won't take time this morning to read the details, but if you read verses 9 through 26, you will be reading about that beautiful city in heaven. And you will be reading about how that we will be spending time there serving God and worshiping God. The sea is no more. What that is saying in John's language is the current order of life that we know it now will not be a part of heaven. It will simply be a place where we worship God and serve God and rest from our labors. The first thing missing in heaven is the current order of things that we experience here and now. But let's keep reading. Come back with me to Revelation chapter 21 and verse 4. John says something else that will not be there. Verse 4, "And he shall wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be any mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore. The first things are passed away." And that statement right there is a reference back to verses 1 and 2. The first things, the current order of things, all of those things that we experience every day, all of those things are going to be gone. Things are going to be different. Things are going to be new. A new order of things. The first things are passed away. Verse 5, "And he that sitteth on the throne said, Behold, I will make all things new." The old order of things is gone. "And he saith, Write, for these words are faithful and true. And he said unto me, They are come to pass. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit these things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Verse 4, death shall be no more. The second thing missing in heaven are those situations in life which cause us to cry. We sing in our psalm books, no tears in heaven. All of those situations, death and mourning and crying and other problems that come along in life that cause pain and sorrow and sadness, all of those things will be gone. There won't be a tear in heaven. You stop and think about those things that make us cry now. A lot of those things involve sin, maybe in our lives or the lives of others, and heartaches and troubles and problems where we shed a tear. Things that we do that maybe cause our parents to cry or loved ones to cry, and we need to make those changes. All of those things will be gone. No tears in heaven. Our existence will be spent with joy, the opposite of shedding the tears. Turn with me to Revelation chapter 7. Revelation chapter 7. I want to begin reading in verse 13. There is so much sadness and sorrow in our community here and other places around. That won't be in heaven. Much of what causes that today, the devil and sin and the sins of man and the problems of man, those things will not exist anymore in heaven. We will be in a place where in serving God, we will have nothing but joy. In Revelation chapter 7 and verse 13, these are the arrayed ones in white robes, the faithful Christians. Who are they and from where do they come? And I say unto him, My Lord, thou knowest. And he said to me, These are they that come out of the great tribulation. And they washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. We begin that by being baptized into Christ and by living faithfully. Therefore are they before the throne of God, and they serve him day and night in his temple. And he sitteth on the throne, shall spread his tabernacle over them. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sun strike upon them, nor any heat. For the Lamb that is in the midst of the throne shall be their shepherd, and he shall guide them into fountains of waters of life, and God shall wipe away every tear from their eyes. Those things that cause crying will be gone. Those things that cause tears will be gone. Nothing but a joyous expression, and that phrase, guide them into fountains of waters of life. That is joy. That is a positive experience. That's an experience that we want to be among. And that will be for all eternity. Death shall be no more. You think about what sheds a tear in your life and in mine, and what causes that those things will all be gone. But there's another thing missing in heaven. Turn with me to chapter 21 and verse 27. There's something else that John says that this is not going to be there. And of course, all of us need to be thinking about this matter with regard to our own personal lives and how that we are living. In Revelation chapter 21, after giving a description of heaven, John comes on down in that beautiful city there, and he comes on down and he makes a point in verse 27. And there shall in no wise enter into anything that is unclean, or he that maketh an abomination and a lie, but only they that are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Look at it. Nothing shall enter into it that is unclean. What's another thing missing in heaven? You don't have to worry about any ungodliness there. No one there who has not obeyed the gospel. No sin. No unrighteousness. And you think about the society that we are in today and how we're surrounded. We are neck deep in sin. In the muck, in the mire of the sin that is around us. And there won't be any of that in heaven. There shall in no wise enter into anything that is unclean. He that maketh an abomination and a lie. Only they that are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. No unrighteousness will be there. Turn back to chapter 21 and verse 8, a description of some individuals that will not be there. Chapter 21 and verse 8, But for the fearful, I was too afraid to obey the gospel. I was too afraid to live faithfully. The unbelieving, I just simply didn't want to believe God's word and obey it. The abominable, murderers, fornicators, sorcerers, idolaters, all liars. Even that little white lie we talk about. All liars, their part shall be in the lake that burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Heaven is a place of only righteous individuals and holiness and purity. No unrighteous people there. Look at chapter 21 with me and verse... chapter 20 and verse 15. Chapter 20 and verse 15. And if any was not found written in the book of life, he was cast into the lake of fire. Our names are placed in the book of life when we obey the gospel. But if any, God is no respecter of persons. If any was not found in the Lamb's book of life, he is cast into the lake of fire. Look at chapter 20 and verse 10. The devil won't be there. Where will he be? The devil. Verse 10, and they that deceived them were cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, for also is the beast and the false prophet, and they shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, if you'll turn back with me there, the Apostle Paul talks about those who cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. If you look at our society today and you look at those who are applauded, you look at people in society where they say, that's fine if you do that, and that's your personal lifestyle, and you can live that kind of way. The Apostle Paul reminds us that these individuals will not be in the kingdom of heaven. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 9, or know you not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with men. The King James says homosexuals. Or drunkards, or revilers, or extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. None of these individuals shall inherit the kingdom of God. That doesn't mean they can't be saved. They can be saved. They can obey the gospel and they can make a change. In fact, that's what he says in verse 11, such were some of you. But what he's saying is if you don't change and you stay in that lifestyle, you cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. Those individuals will not be in heaven. And those are the very individuals that our society says is fine, and you can do these things. It's okay to live that kind of way. Turn with me to Galatians chapter 5. We need to be reminded that in heaven, these individuals will not be there. And so we need to talk with them about making the changes in their life and bringing their lives into conformity to God's Word and God's will. In Galatians chapter 5, Paul mentions the unclean, the fornicator, sexual immorality outside of a godly marriage, lasciviousness, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, wrath, faction, division, partying, envying, drunkenness, reveling, and such like, of which I forewarned you, even as I did forewarn you, that they who practice such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. These individuals are not in heaven. Turn back with me to Revelation chapter 22. Revelation chapter 22 now. Again, John continues a picture of heaven, but in chapter 22, notice what he says. When we come down to verse 14 and 15. Revelation 22, 14. Blessed are they that wash their robes, that they may have the right to come to the tree of life and may enter in by the gates into the city. Without are the dogs, a first century term for male prostitutes and male fornication. Without are the dogs, the sorcerers, the fornicators, the murderers, the idolaters, and everyone that loveth and maketh a lie. Without that, those individuals are not in heaven. And so we're surrounded by that in our society, and yet we need to be reminded that we're going to a place where none of that will exist anymore. In Matthew chapter 7 and verse 21, even those who say, Lord, Lord, but they've not obeyed the will of the Father, they won't be in heaven. And in Matthew chapter 25, religious folks who just simply failed to do good works, Jesus said, they will not be in heaven. And so we need to be mindful of this matter, that heaven will be an existence spent only with the righteous of all time. These individuals who are engaged in sin in their life, and it's been unrepented of, it has not been washed away in the blood of Christ, it has not been forgiven. These individuals who go along in their lives and they're having a good time, they're enjoying their life, they will not be in heaven. It will be a rude awakening in the judgment day. Turn with me to 2 Peter chapter 3. Heaven is a place of only righteousness. It's a place of righteousness only. And we need to remember that. In talking about the judgment day in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 10, the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, and the heavens and the works there will be dissolved with a fervent heat, will be burned up. Now look at verse 11. Seeing these things are thus all to be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be? In other words, right now, in our lives right now, what do we need to be? In all holy living and godliness, looking for and earnestly desiring the coming of the day of God, the judgment day, by reason of which the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. But according to this promise, we look for a new heavens and a new earth. Now get it in your Bible. Wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherein dwelleth righteousness. What about the unrighteousness? It's not going to dwell therein. And so we'll be there with the Godhead. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, and the righteous of all time, the righteous angels. But no unrighteousness shall any wise enter into it. And so we need to remember that we're going to a place that's not going to be like this world, where we're surrounded by the sin that is in the world. It just simply won't be there. Those individuals will be with the devil and his angels. What a sobering thought. But on the other end, what a positive thought that we're going to a place where we don't have to be surrounded by that anymore. There's something else that won't be in heaven. Turn with me to Revelation chapter 22 and verse 3. Let's pick up the reading there. In Revelation chapter 22, I want to begin reading in verse 1. And he showed me a river of the water of life, bright as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb, and in the midst of the street thereof. And on this side of the river and on that was the tree of life, bearing 12 manner of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the trees were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no curse anymore. No curse anymore. And the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be therein, and his servants shall serve him. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be on their foreheads. When you go back to the beginning of the Bible, what's interesting is that we have the curse at the beginning of the Bible, and then at the very last chapter, we have no curse. The curse, this statement, no curse anymore, goes all the way back to the beginning of time. If you'll turn back with me to Genesis chapter 3, when Adam and Eve were in the Garden of Eden, it was a paradise. When they were in the Garden of Eden, it was a paradise, and they had fellowship with God. But when they sinned, the wages of sin is death. God is going to punish sin. When they sinned, he cursed Adam and Eve. And part of that curse is given in chapter 3, 9 through the end of the chapter. And the part that I want to focus on is at the very end of the chapter, maybe a part of the curse that we forget. With regard to the woman, there's pain in the childbirth. And with regard to the man, there is working by the sweat of his brow, verse 18. But we forget sometimes 22 through 24. A part of the curse was, you can't be here anymore. You can't be in fellowship with me anymore in this garden, in this paradise. When John says, there will be no more curse, first of all, there won't be any sin in heaven, the curse, only righteousness. But there won't be any more disfellowship where man has been cast out of the garden. In fact, they're being brought into the garden of paradise. This curse is representing disfellowship with God, the casting away. And so, he drove man out, verse 24. But in Revelation 22, he's saying, come in and be in fellowship. This curse is no more. You have washed your sins away in my Son's blood. You have lived faithfully. You're not going to be cast out. You're going to be brought back into the paradise. In fact, did you read carefully in chapter 22? When you were reading chapter 22, the first three verses, did you read there about the tree of life? Did you read that? Where do we first read about the tree of life? It's in the garden. It's in paradise. And so Adam and Eve are said to have been driven out of the tree of life. Now man is being invited back into the tree of life. There is no curse anymore. Complete and utter fellowship and unity with God. It begins in the church. We have to be a faithful member of the church today. But ultimately, it will end in being in paradise with God. And I mention the church because in Zechariah chapter 14 and verse 11, a prophecy of the New Testament church, Zechariah says that in that New Testament church, the curse will be no more. It begins by being a faithful member of the church. And ultimately, it resides in being in that paradise with God. Turn with me to Revelation chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2. Heaven is paradise restored. What was lost in Adam and Eve is regained in heaven. In Revelation chapter 2, at the beginning of the letter to the Ephesians, verse 7, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him that overcometh," lives a faithful life, "to him I will give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God." Why? There's no curse anymore. You can come back in. And we can be in total fellowship and blessing with God. In chapter 19, it's described as a wedding. It's described as a marriage and a wedding. And when you attend one of those, there is unity and blessing and joy. And in heaven, Revelation chapter 19 and verse 6, "Let us rejoice and be exceedingly glad. Let us give glory unto him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife, the faithful of all time, hath made herself ready. It was given unto her that she should array herself in fine linen, bright and pure, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints." And in heaven there will be that joining, that marriage between us and the Lamb, nothing but complete unity. "Blessed," verse 9, "are they that are bidden to the marriage supper of the Lamb." Why? Because it's nothing but a joyous event of complete fellowship. There is no curse anymore. Where he drove the man out, now it's come in and be a part of this paradise. Come in and be a part of this tree of life. And then last of all, and the lesson is yours, the fifth thing that is missing in heaven is time. In Revelation chapter 21 and verse 15, let's read a couple of verses here. Revelation chapter 21, I want to begin reading in verse 23. "And the city hath no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine upon it. For the glory of God did lighten it, and the lamp thereof is the Lamb. And the nations shall walk amidst the light thereof, and the kings of the earth bring their glory into it. And the gates thereof shall in no wise be shut by day." That was typical of Bible times. You shut the city gate at the end of the day for protection and other reasons. "But it will not be shut, for there shall be no night there." Read with me chapter 22 and verse 5 with regard to being around the throne and worshiping God. "And there shall be no night anymore. And they need no light of lamp, neither light of sun, for the Lord God shall give them light." Now look at it. "And they shall reign forever and ever." It's not just, the point is not just that we won't need lights anymore. God will be the light. The point is that day and night mark time. And these things that God put into the sky, all the way back in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 14, the lights that God put into the sign for days and nights and seasons and years, this will all be gone. Have you ever thought about the fact that our life is often consumed with time? You have to be somewhere at a certain time. You have to get something done by a certain time. And even our life in general. Look at Psalm 90 and verse 12. "Teach us to number our days." Do you realize that a lot of our stress and strain comes from time-conscious things that we've got going on in our life? Things that deal with time often stress us. And we know that our time in our bodies is limited. "Teach us to number our..." There won't be any numbering in heaven. There won't be any time. There won't be any watching the clock. No, no, we've got to get it done by a certain time. The whole idea is an endless eternity where we're focused on serving God, not on the clock. There will be no day and night which marks time for us. All of that will be gone. Time as we know it will be gone. Day and night were meant, Genesis 1:14, to mark time. And all of that's gone. We're just simply spending eternity, the latter part of verse 5, around that throne, reigning and worshiping God forever and ever. That'll be a blessing when you consider how much of our life is spent being time conscious and stressed by those things of time. Our existence will be spent in endless eternity. Jesus describes it in Matthew 25 and verse 46 as eternal life. And so we're not watching the clock. We're not time conscious anymore. We're not stressed by those things that we have throughout the week and the work day and the work week where we're marked by time. We just simply enjoy worshiping God for all eternity. Well, five things missing in heaven. No present life as we know it. No things that consume our daily affairs. No tears and those things that cause tears. No unrighteousness. The different sins that we see committed around us, none of that will be there. There's a place called hell for that, and that's the subject of another lesson. But it won't be there. No curse anymore where man is driven out. I cannot be in fellowship with you. Sin separates us, but in inviting in, come into the paradise, come into the Garden of Eden again. No curse anymore. We're going to be in complete fellowship. And no time. Simply spent enjoying eternity, endless time, worshiping God. We're going to stand and sing a song of encouragement in just a moment. The song of invitation has been selected. We want to be in heaven. Heaven is a prepared place for a prepared people. Shannon read the scripture in John 14, 1 through 3. I go to prepare a place for you. Are we prepared to go here? We need to go to heaven. We need to long to go to heaven. We need to make whatever changes we need to make in our life because of what is missing there. What is missing there? And those beautiful things that we will have. And so as we stand and sing this song of encouragement, I want to ask one last question with regard to things missing in heaven. Will you be one of them? Something to think about. My parents will be there, but I won't. My spouse will be there, but I won't. My children will be there, but I won't. Or whatever the case might be. There's going to be some things missing in heaven. Will you be one of them? Will I be one of them? We have an opportunity this morning to make our lives right with God so that we're not missing there. We're going to stand and sing this song of encouragement. Just simply step forward. Let your needs be made known. If you need to repent and change your past life and let others know you're doing that and wash those sins away in the waters of baptism, all things are ready where you can do that. As an unfaithful Christian, if you need to come back in some way, you can do that. There are going to be some things missing in heaven. And because of those things, we have that great reward in front of us. But don't let you or me be one of them. If we can encourage you to make your life right with God, why won't you come as we stand and sing?